All right, let's turn to John chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 18. Titled the sermon, Hate Crimes. Hate crimes are, we hear about them all the time nowadays, don't we? I guess I've heard about them throughout my life, but lately, especially with the whole Palestinian-Israeli conflict and the anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim stuff that's going on, we hear about hate crimes a lot, I mean, against all kinds of groups. And today, Jesus teaches us about hate crimes. Hate crimes against his disciples, even himself. Not the most popular part of Jesus' teaching, but a necessary part. A necessary part. So, let's hear now from God's holy, inerrant, accurate word. This is the sword of the Spirit. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. They'll do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hearing a difficult message like this, well, it can be difficult. We just sang, though, we trust that you give us your peace, that you give us your strength, that you give us yourself. We pray that you would do that now so that we can attend to your voice, your living voice, spoken today through the scriptures by your Spirit, that we might be strengthened and peaceful even as we seek to live life following you, even in the midst of being rejected, even in the midst of being hated. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this past Friday was Veterans Day. So my daughter, little Lisi, Annalise Lorene Carroll, didn't have her little pre-K class, so she was going to be home all day with me, which meant I wasn't going to get any work done. So my mother down in Woodbridge, where I grew up, said she'd be willing to watch Lisi while I did some work at the library. So I brought her down, dropped her off. Went to the library, you know, right near where I grew up, and it was closed. Veterans Day, right? So, went to Starbucks. Great place to work, by the way. Not really. At least not for me. It's hard for me to work there. But I was working, you know, getting stuff done, and eventually needed to take a break. Went and grabbed a coffee. Sat down. I was kind of just letting my mind rest for a minute, drinking coffee, people watching, that kind of thing. And lo and behold, of course, back in my old neighborhood, an old friend walks in. I walked up to him. I haven't seen him in about 20 years, probably over 20 years now. And I walked up to him, and I put my arm, my hand on his shoulder, and I said his name. And, you know, he looked at me, and it was like all the pieces weren't together yet, and it was like, whoa! You know, 20 years later, we look different, right? I look better. So he was blown away. And he's like, whoa, man, you know, so he got a coffee, we sat down and started talking, and conversation, you know, proceeded, and he's kind of the same kind of guy, you know, into the same kinds of things. We used to hang out, and we, you know, got in some trouble in the past and that kind of thing, and eventually found out that I was a pastor, and didn't really want to talk about that too much. But eventually, as the conversation proceeded, he started talking about how he overcame smoking and basically using psychedelic drugs. And so, you know, these magic mushrooms, he said, you know, they helped me to over, and I've read PhD work on this, and you know, it's very, and he's going on and on about how you can overcome your problems by using drugs. And, you know, as a Christian, when you're talking with people who aren't, they don't believe the same things as you, they don't have the same values as you, you know, you have to kind of pick your battles. You don't just kind of start arguing with them at every single point you disagree with, and I'm just trying to have a conversation. But eventually, he comes to the point where he begins to advocate my using them. And here's how he did it. He said, you know, it's like, and he already, by the way, had talked about how he wasn't sure, but he thinks there might have been like demonic involvement, okay? But then he goes on and he says, but you know, it's like I tell religious people all the time, like, you know, I don't care what you are, you're a Buddhist, you know, whatever. Like, if you take this stuff, like, it puts you in direct contact with God. Like, I told this guy, he's a Christian, like, I'm telling you, man, if you do this, it puts you in, like, direct contact with your God, you know? And he's just about to keep talking. And then maybe I said it a bit too harshly. But at that point I said, you know, because I felt like, look, am I really being faithful to Jesus, if I kind of, you know, when you're talking with people and you don't totally agree, but you're kind of like, But if I go along with this, it felt just like, well, I'm not being faithful to God. I'm miscommunicating with him. Oh, pastor, am I going to agree with him that taking psychedelic drugs puts you in direct communion with the living God? And so I said, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who gives us a good, right, peaceful access to God. Magic mushrooms don't. Now, he didn't like that. I don't think my friend is used to having people disagree with him, and he certainly wasn't expecting it from me. And so we had, you know, I guess you could say an argument. Now, I was fine with it because, you know, I can be an adult and I can disagree with you and still love you. And as we were going back and forth, you know, about what we thought, eventually I said something and he, like, looked at me. And then he started, like, looking off into the kind of space a little bit, like he's thinking, you know, like deep thought. His eyes were kind of moving a lot. His head was moving. I'm like, wow, this is like 10 seconds. I was like, my, I made an amazing point. What did I just say? That was great. Apparently, I've convinced this man. You know? I was ready for it. And then he looked at me with this mean look in his eyes, with a mean sound in his voice. And he said, I want to thank you, because you just reminded me exactly why I don't want to be religious. Took his cup, drank his coffee, stormed out. On the way out, I said, all right, man, I'll see you later. You know? Try to show him some love on the way out. What did he do there? He was trying to guilt trip me. You see, he knows as a Christian I'm trying to promote this message to him. But what is he saying to me? Not only did you do it wrong, not only did you not get me to believe in this moment, but you're the very reason I will never believe. You screwed up. You messed up. This is a very low level hate crime. We live in a place where it's not really that dangerous to be a Christian. In some places you'll get killed for being a Christian. We all know that. the United States, it's unlikely. But we will experience hate for our witness in word and in deed to the glory of Jesus Christ, to bearing witness to the truth, to bear witness to God's love, to bear witness to the peace that God gives. We will experience people's hatred and rejection. How do we handle it? What do we do when that happens? Do we just go with the guilt trip? Do we feel bad about ourselves? Do we leave the faith? Do we give up? What do we do? Jesus is teaching us here what to do, because we will all experience this. Whether it be more indirectly, as you live in a culture that doesn't appreciate you because you're a Christian, or whether it's more directly in your workplace, in your school, in your family, when you experience rejection, even hatred, for being Christ's witness. So Jesus has three main things that I want to bring out today that we have to do. The first is, we need to know this. The world hates you. Love one another. Okay, first point. Second point is, when the world hates you, take action. Third point, when the world hates you, remember God loves the world. Okay? The world hates you. Love one another. When the world hates you, take action. When the world hates you, remember that God loves the world. All right, let's start with that first point about the world hates you, love one another. Jesus couldn't have made the contrast more clear. In the final paragraph, just prior to verse 18, this is the context. Remember, context, when you're reading Scripture, context is king. So, what does verse 12 say? Jesus teaches his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How did Jesus love us? Because we were good looking, because we had good grades, because we helped the old lady across the street? No. Jesus loved us when we were unlovely, even when we did not love him. He unselfishly, self-sacrificially gave himself to us. And he calls us to love each other in the same way. That's what a local church is supposed to be like. We love each other unselfishly and self-sacrificially. What a beautiful picture. Jesus then says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." He goes on in the very last verse prior to 18, "These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Next verse. If the world hates you, the contrast couldn't be stronger. Love in the church, hate from the world. And so, when we understand that the world will hate us, we need to remember that we must be loving one another. And here's at least part of why. Because when you get hated, where do you go? You need to go back to a place where you're supported. You need people who are going to support you, not guilt trip you for trying to bear witness to the truth. You need to go back to a place where people will bring you in, will help you work through what just happened, will encourage you to go back out there and do it again. We need a place of love because we live in a place where people will hate us for being Christ's disciples. So when you are practicing love in the church towards one another, you are creating a context in which people can be mistreated in the world and find the kind of healthy, loving support they need to be disciples in this world. It's not just about having a happy place. It's about having a healing place. It's about having a home base. When we are loving one another, we are creating a home base for people who are not being treated well, who are even being hated, for being Christ's disciples, and we need that. We will be hated, but we will love one another. Right? Okay, next point is when the world hates us, we need to take action. We need to take action. We don't just receive it passively. We take action. Now, I want to break this into three different points. First of all, well, these actions are both things we need to believe and things we need to do. Okay? So let's look at it. If the world hates you, verse 18, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Okay? He goes on to say, I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So the first thing we have to remember is that when we are hated, we have a fellowship with Jesus in his sufferings. He is the one who suffered first. He is the one who suffered worse. He is the one who has preeminently suffered. And when we suffer, when we are hated, we get to experience a special fellowship with him in his sufferings. That's how Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 3. He says, he wants to know Christ, verse 10 of chapter 3, and the power of his resurrection, that he might share Christ's sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible he might attain the resurrection from the dead. There is a fellowship with Jesus as we are hated. When we remember he was hated first, when we remember we are suffering because Christ chose us out of the world according to his grace, according to his eternal plan, according to his election. He chose to be merciful to whom he would be merciful. He chose us out of the world to be his, even to suffer. Even to suffer. That is part of the plan. He was hated. We will also. But God will turn all of it to our good, and in the midst of it, we need to remember we can have special fellowship with Jesus in those times, and we should engage in special fellowship and prayer with Jesus when we are hated. Enter into prayer. Enter into the fellowship of his suffering. The second thing we need to do, we need to remember something, and this is going to sound arrogant, okay? But it's not. This is what you need to remember to do. You need to remember that the person who's doing it because they're ignorant. Now, I'm not saying I know everything. And I'm not saying that person's not a smart person on many levels, but they are ignorant of something. They are ignorant of someone. And this is not meant to look down on them. This is to recognize something. This is the action you must take that your teacher, your master is telling you to do. Listen. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him. Because they do not know him who sent me. If they knew the Father who sent the Son, if they knew the Son who was sent by the Father, if they were not ignorant of the Father and the Son, they wouldn't do it. Why did my friend do this to me? Because he is ignorant of God. And I have to remind myself of that. That's what we need to remind ourselves of. It may sound arrogant, but we need to remind ourselves that only because of God's grace, and by the way, that gets rid of arrogance, only by God's grace, only because he chose you, only because he elected you, only because he chose you from before the foundations of the earth were set that you know God. There's nothing special about us that brought us to this special knowledge. We know him. We do know God, and those who mistreat us do not. And we must remember that if we are to deal with the hatred of the world as our Master would have us deal with it. The last thing is, don't take it personally. That's the last thing you got. Don't take it too personally. Of course, they have done this to you, but remember, it's actually not about you. Jesus said here, he says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you on account of my name. Why are they doing this to you? It's because of him. The antipathy of human hearts, the hatred of the human heart, a heart that prefers darkness rather than the light, a heart that does not want to be exposed in its ugliness or its sin, hates the light, does not love God, does not like God. It is not really about you. It's about Jesus. And so when you get hated for your witness, when you get hated for following Jesus, speaking the words that he would have you speak, living the life that he would have you live, when you are hated for that, remember to not take it too personally. Let their guilt tripping you, or whatever it might be, sort of pass through you and let it rest upon Christ's shoulders. Because that's who it's really directed at. Don't take it too personally. And the last thing is to remember this. When the world hates you, remember how much God loves the world. Verse 26. Christ says, but when the helper comes, the word helper could be translated in a variety of ways, but when the helper comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Christ is sending his Spirit into the world. The Father and the Son sending the Spirit into the world. Why? To bear witness to the world. Why? Because God's desire is that all come to repentance. All come to him by faith. That's what Paul writes to Timothy. God is sending his Spirit into a world that hates him because he loves the world and he wants them to be brought to him. He wants the world to come to him in faith and hope and love and be saved. He wants them to come out of the darkness and into the light. He wants them to come to know him. That's why he's sending his Spirit into the world. So when the world hates you, remember that God loves the world. And remember this too. It's not just the Spirit who is sent into the world to bear witness. We have been sent into the world to bear witness. Jesus says in verse 27, and you also will bear witness. You will bear witness. This is why you will be hated, because you will speak as Christ taught you to speak. You will act as Christ taught you to act. Yes, imperfectly, but you will. And because you will, because the Spirit is at work in you, you will be hated. But remember, you are doing this witness not to win arguments. You're doing this witness because you love that person who you're bearing witness to. Because God loves that person who you're bearing witness to. So when the world hates you, remember how much God loves the world and love them back. Say goodbye to them as they exit the Starbucks, right? Pray for them. Pray for the people who persecute you. I feel like I've heard that somewhere in the Bible. Love your enemies. I don't know. I feel like that also is somewhere in the Bible, right? So what did I do after all that? Well, at first I felt guilty. I did. I kind of accepted it. Then I felt a little bit of fear. What's he going to do to me? He's going to come like egg my house or something? I don't know. Going to put bologna on my car? I was like, thank you, Jesus. Because as a preacher and as a teacher of God's Word, I need to be practicing what I preach. And you just gave me a great opportunity. So I went, I texted Joseph Hsu. I told him about what happened. Because when the world hates me, I'm reminded we love one another. And Joseph encouraged me. I let my wife know. I talked to somebody else. I go to the community where I will be supported and helped that understand. So I took that movement that my teacher told me to take, and it helped. What did I do after that? I reminded myself of Christ who's with me, of Christ whom I am suffering with. I have a fellowship with Him in that suffering. I prayed to Him about it. What else did I do? I reminded myself, my old friend, he is ignorant of God. That's why he's doing it. And he's doing it not really to me. He's doing it to you. And finally, again, I prayed for him. I sought to love him by praying that this difficult conversation for him, he wouldn't be able to get out of his mind. And that the Spirit would use that difficult conversation to bring him to Christ. So that the next time we're at Starbucks and I see him, he sits down with me and he says, may Jesus bless you. And we can talk about how he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for my friend. We ask that you would bear witness in his heart by your Spirit and bring him to yourself, Lord. We pray, O God, that you would help us to be a community that loves one another, that takes action when we're hated, and that continues to bear witness despite what the world might try to do to us. Because we have all that we need, and there is nothing that the world could ever do to us that could take us away from your love. And although they might kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. And that we will enjoy the resurrection and eternal life forever. And that's what we want for them. That's what you want for them. And we praise you, God, and we thank you, and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.